from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, let's get to Sirianni. So one of the things that was said, you know, a lot this offseason was he's got to tone it down. I was one of them. You know, we had heard reports that the Eagles' upper management, the brass, whether it's Howie and Jeff or just Howie, that they were of that mindset. I feel that there is no doubt that that is true. While you know, I don't think those guys commented on the record on it, I don't think Sirianni would be saying stuff he said yesterday if he hadn't gotten word from on high, thou shall, you know, chill the hell out, dude. All right? Enough. Knock it off. I mean, I like Sirianni, but let's not have a freaking clown show on our hands. Stomping off the field in Kansas City last year, a couple years ago, beating the Colts, moving up to, this is for Frank Reich. All right? Relax. All right? Come on. Sirianni yesterday. I thought this was, at least to my knowledge, the best example of, and I think this was Jeff McClain, I believe, of a reporter digging in on Sirianni on this issue. And this went on for a couple minutes. We're going to break it down into a couple parts here. Is Sirianni going to act different this year? There's in-game, and then there's like off-the-field stuff, if you will, like the stomp going to the sideline, you know, at the end of the, all right, here's Sirianni. Here's where it started yesterday on whether he's going to change.
In March, Jeffrey Lurie said that you were going to find the sweet spot in finding kind of like with your passion, staying authentic to yourself in terms of that, but also kind of reining it in certain circumstances on the sideline, perhaps, maybe in your dealings with others. How have you gone about doing that?
Yeah, again, we're always, all of us, the moment we stop growing and trying to grow in our profession and grow as, you know, people, as players, as coaches, is the moment you might as well not be doing it anymore. So we're constantly trying to evolve it, everything that we do to, you know, you go through adversity and you think about what can I do better in adversity. You go through hard time or good times and you think about what could I do better. So everything's always in a constant evaluation of yourself. That's accountability, right?
All right, so good start. I mean, you know, he's far from done. Believe me, he's far from done. But all right, that's his opening little salvo to try to address it. Now let's listen as he continues on. I will tell you this. It struck me like he did not feel totally comfortable going here publicly. But as he typically does, and I appreciate this, both as a fan and a member of the media, and we've interviewed Sirianni a lot, I do think he tries to give very thoughtful answers. thoughtful answers. There's a lot of people that don't. Andy Reid did not try to give thoughtful answers. Chip Kelly did not try to give thoughtful answers. Sirianni, I think, is a very genuine person. I do like him a lot on a personal level. He's a nice guy. So he does start the process of opening up here, but I did feel it was a little uncomfortable for him. Here he is, more of Sirianni as he continued on.
And so, you know, to point out a specific thing, I mean... I've worked a lot on a lot of different things just to make sure that we, you know, that I'm being the best head coach that I possibly can be. And so I wouldn't say, you know.
Something that you have consciously thought about. I know it's only been preseason games. The passion probably isn't there as much as it would have been.
Well, I'm excited. I'm excited about preseason. I want to win those games too.
Yeah. Is that something that you feel like in certain circumstances that you can dial it down?
One thing that I read when I was reading a leadership book this off season was, if you want everyone around you to have accountability and you want yourself to have accountability, then you know you fussing at the refs is not. It's almost like, hey, this happened, so I'm going to blame that. Right. And so when I read that, I was like, yeah, that hit me like some sort of way.
All right. So he's putting out there, he's going to try to fuss, you know, as he says, fuss at the refs less, which is interesting because it can be an effective way of coaching. Jay Wright, to use an example, would fuss at the refs. I mean, he would give the refs a hard time. Part of that is you're trying to buy the next call. One of the things I always objected to with Sirianni was, and he did it like 10 different times in 2021, when he would complain about the pick plays the Eagles ran that they got flagged for. And it's like, coach, it was a pick play. They caught you. Like, it's like saying my guy palmed the ball. No, he didn't. They caught. No, he didn't palm the ball. He palmed the ball. I mean, we all saw it. All right. Sirianni continues on because it's interesting. He's talking a lot about the in-game stuff. I think part of it also, though, was the not in-game stuff. He doesn't quite address that, but Sirianni's answer rolled on.
Like, when I think about me, you know, with a referee potentially on the sideline, I'm like, you know, and I complain about a call. Is that really sending the right message to the rest of the team as far as our accountability goes? Again, when something goes wrong, the answer should be, how do we fix this and what are the solutions, as opposed to, you know, looking for a scapegoat, I guess to say, is how I read it in the book. And that hit me a certain way.
All right, so it's interesting. Here are, to me, the takeaways. He's going to try to be different. He focused his answer on in-game stuff related to referees. I actually think non-referee stuff is a big part of what Lurie would want him to do differently. I mean, let me put it this way from my standpoint as an Eagles fan. I thought over the last 3 years, and I hate when I'm in this position, I went to Fairfield University in Connecticut, so I got a bunch of friends that are Giants fans or Jets fans or Patriots fans or whatever, northeast section of the country. When my buddies will text me or call me and be like, dude, what's up with your coach down there? Kind of seems like a clown show. When I don't have a good response, I hate that. Like, I hate when someone in Philadelphia does something.
Why don't you just say he's passionate?
Well, I do, but then I say, but I don't like it. I think it's misguided.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Chiefs beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl. The Eagles won a game last year because the Chiefs player dropped a touchdown at the end of the game.
Yeah.
And he stomps off the freaking field. It's like, coach.
Yeah, that was a bit much.
So, Jody, what do you make of this?
More off-field than in-game. I like a coach who fights with the referee.
Bill Cowher, right?
If I'm a player,
yes,
and he's out there fighting for me, because it's a questionable call. You're right. Every once in a while,
yeah,
Sirianni's questioning Paul Cole, going, coach, wrong time to pick a fight. He blatantly did it. What are you talking about here? But 9 out of 10 times, if I'm a player, my coach is screaming at a ref on a play that I was involved in. Thanks for taking my back, coach. That's what leaders are supposed to do.
Now,
I don't think that's a big deal.
It may have bugged. I think we feel confident it did bug Jalen, and it may have involved the offense not humming as well, because maybe he was a little, maybe his attention was a little diverted when it's like play calling time and play involvement time. Seltzer, what do you make of how Sirianni presented that yesterday?
Look, I'm with you guys. I have no problem with the in-game stuff. I do think it can be effective, and especially, look, he's not calling plays this year, so he doesn't have to worry about that in-game, so it doesn't bother me.
Let me ask you this real quick before you rev up what you're about to say. Do you think he goes too far in his celebrations of good things?
Yes.
Touchdown happens.
He runs
down to the 7-yard line.
So, yes.
Like, I think that's too far.
It is, but at the same time, like, look, we want our coach to care like we do, right? We can't sit here all the time and be like, I want my owner to care like I do. I want my coach to care like I do and care about the Eagles and winning games as much as I do. So, like, I appreciate the passion that he shows. I think when you're showing other teams up, like, in certain spots, you got to be careful of that. But I'm all right with passion about excitement in-game stuff. It's the after the game going and yelling at fans or you know, going over the top. That's where I need him to cut it out. But like in-game, man, like live. I'm cool with it.
So I want him to dial some of that back, but not the stuff at the refs when it's a righteous gripe. But I do want him to chill out on running down to the 5-yard line, mugging for the camera after a touchdown. Like, have some decorum. I mean, look, I grew up on Buddy Ryan, who had zero decorum. In a different way.
Yeah, you always say Buddy's your favorite ever. So.
But times have changed.
Yeah, and the stone-faced coach, you know, Buddy Ryan, Bill Belichick-style coach, is not the norm anymore.
I mean, Tom Landry would just stand there on the sideline. Right. Like, I mean, Jody,
he would move.
Even Andy Reid, I feel like he's maybe gotten a little bit more animated, but he's still pretty dry.
Can I ask you a question while we're on the reaction thing? Because I just referenced Jay Wright 5 minutes ago, and he might be listening right now. Who knows?
Hey, Jay.
When Chris Jenkins hit that shot, how did all he do was go,
the coldest thing.
He goes, bang, his finger like moves forward or something, and he just walks to Roy Williams to shake the hand. No arms in the air, no jump.
So cool.
How did he do that? I mean, like, the hammer. I can't win a freaking trivia contest, you know, like, on a Friday morning at 7:55. I go, well, he won the national championship and was like, cool.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Two C's. Cool and calculated. Jay Wright was outstanding at both of them. He was cool.
Yeah.
But he was also very calculated.
Well, it's ironic after Raleigh and Lapis.
Completely different.
Totally over the top.
Completely different.
Totally over the top. 215 at Villanova before Jay. 215-592-9494. Gary in New Jersey. Gary, good morning, buddy.
Hey, let me ask you a question. So, a guy replaying his victory on Beat the Hammer, a loser, but a guy listening to his loss in the tub, not so much?
Take caution in your tone.
Settle down there, Gary. I got more where that came from. I got more.
What you talking about,
Don't
Willis?
Don't do it. Don't step to me, Gary. I'm not in the mood.
I think Harper's not in the mood either. I think there's a home run coming tonight.
A home run from who?
Swing from Harper. I think he's not in the mood, or he's going to swing out of his shoes.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see. Look, the Arcia thing is, to me, it's double-edged. I mean, on one hand, I think it's fun. On the other hand, I think he looks foolish. He looks worse because they lost the game. You know? I mean, it's, talk about Buddy Ryan. I mean, Jody, that's the stuff Buddy would do. I mean, sometimes Buddy would win, but a lot of times Buddy would lose. He'd puff out his chest. He'd say the most ridiculous things. And the Eagles would lose to the freaking Cardinals.
Right.
It's like, come on, man. The Cardinals stink.
You got to pick and choose your battles.
Totally.
When to take your stands.
Totally.
Yeah, maybe do that in the bottom of the ninth.
All right, Gary. Yeah. Hector Neris, you want him back?
Yes, please. One, please.
Hector the Protector.
How can it hurt? It might create some competition. He might,
I agree.
You know, be rejuvenated.
I heard it was
more like a contract thing too.
Oh, and by the way, I looked that up. Hector I guess the Cubs handled the way they wanted to. They put him through irrevocable waivers first.
What does that mean?
When you put a guy through irrevocable waivers, if another team claims him, you can't bring him back. You can put a player through waivers anytime. Like the Phillies can put up Harper through waivers.
Sure. Yeah.
And if someone claims him, you just pull him back.
Right.
And he stays yours. You go irrevocable, another team claims him, he's theirs. The Cubs already did that. He passed the entire league. So no one claimed
him.
Does
that mean anybody can sign him?
He is now an utter free agent, can sign with any team.
Oh, so it doesn't go by standings?
No, he already went through his.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
He already went through irrevocable waivers and all 29 other teams passed. So he is a free agent. Look, basically, he should sign. Oh, now, some team may handle it differently. He should sign for veteran minimum because you're going to get paid by the Cubs. Yeah. He gets all his money from the Cubs.
Gary, I got to tell you, I find the whole thing weird because he pitched well this year to a certain extent. And look, I mean, with what the Phillies bullpen has been lately, and let's be real, guys. Estevez got incredibly lucky on that 3-0 or 3-1 pitch, whatever it was, that was called a strike last night that helped him battle back in that at-bat that became the out that Bohm made the charging play to throw the guy out at first. I mean, if that's a ball four call, as it probably should have been, bases loaded, one out, I mean, a decent chance the Phillies lose the game, and we're having a whole different conversation here.
Yeah, but I think Francie said it best when he said, like, oh, he just calling him wherever he wants to tonight. Like, he was all over the place.
All right, Gary, give me a great answer, man, a sports quote. What do you got?
Well, the best part about this one is they actually did it. Win today, and we walk together forever.
Yeah.
Ooh, Freddie.
Great answer.
That is big time.
Freddie.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I like that a lot. By the way, I wish someone else was tracking all these, writing down these quotes and then having a talk. It's not the easiest thing. I mean, I'm still scribbling down quotes from an hour ago. Right? So I got, in order to, what was it, be the man, you got to beat the man?
Correct.
That was Ric Flair.
I mean, it's too much here. Too much on the plate.
You know you can ask one of us to help you.
All right, Devin, I ask you for the rest of the show. Write them all down.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Boom.
Why do I feel like that's a threat?
No,
it did feel very threatening. Yeah, no, it's you do it. Then
you
fine.
It. You do it. You take care of it. All right. And here's my reaction to that.
Yes! Oh, yes!
Something off my plate. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. So, by the way, we haven't ripped Richie enough. Let me just say, frankly, I want to rip the callers for not ripping Richie. I mean,
this is really.
Jody, what'd you make of that when he cried? I mean, as a man,
cried isn't even like strong enough. Like, bawled his eyes out on the radio.
What did you make of that, Jody? Did you listen to that live?
No.
What did you make of it when you heard it?
I heard it after the fact. He's being real. Yeah. More power to him.
He's being real.
He's an emotional guy.
But we can still rip.
Who knows? Yeah, of course. That's standard operating procedure.
Yeah. So that's
the only thing that I question about him. Because, hey, if you feel it, you got to react. You got to be yourself or whatever. But he had to know he's going to get crushed after the fact.
It just came out, man.
Do not try and control yourself better, knowing that if I go there, I'm a dead man.
This is really...
172 times this is going to be played again by James and/or Joe.
Times 10.
Yes.
If we're actually going to get real here, I wasn't going to get real, but let's get a little down and dirty. Repressed emotions.
That's true, actually. Honestly, like right, the first James? Like 6 years or 5 years of our show, our joke was John doesn't feel anything. Like it's like he's like just keeps it all in. It's starting
and
to
now,
come out.
Now he's letting it all out.
But I wasn't really going to talk that much behind his back, but the feeling hit me. All right, so the moment was brought up here with Alec Bohm with the charging play. Let's listen to it. So there was one out in the ninth, two on. This was a shaky spot. Look, Estevez is very lucky he got out of this. Very lucky. Let's listen first to the second out of the inning. This is a really good play by Bohm.
Estevez is ready to go on the pitch. Swing and a tapper left side. Charging is Bohm. He's got it. Throws on the run. Just in time to get Harris. What a play.
Man, seriously. I mean, without that, deep trouble. All right. So then you get another. You get a cue shot. You get one of those like Chris Coase used to do this. As a right-handed hitter, he'd hit the cue shot down the right field line. He would specialize in that. Well, a Braves player did it, but not quite as far. It was a tough spot for Bryce, but he found a way. Like Buttermaker would say in the Bad News Bears to Tanner, get down on your knee. At the very least, block the ball. It's still in front of you. Maybe you can still make the play. That's what Bryce
did. Tying run at third, winning run at second. Two outs, bottom of the ninth. The Estevez kicks the 0-1. Swing and a ground ball towards first. Harper smothers it near the bag, picks it up, steps on first, and the game is over. Harper bangs that one around long enough to keep it in front, and he'll step on first, and that ends the ball game.
Good play.
Skidding across the chalk as Harper able to finally reel that one in. It had some weird spin on it, but the Phillies celebrate a come-from-behind 3-2 win tonight over the Braves.
All right, very weird spin, but they got it done. Look, 215-592-9494. By the way, the Brewers lost yesterday. Dodgers won, so the Phillies still trail L.A., but one up on the Brewers, technically, if you want to say two up, because the Phillies own the tiebreaker. Let's get to Hans. Hans, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You guys were just talking about John Ritchie, and I'm a fellow Central Pennsylvania resident here.
Nice.
And, I come from his Pennsylvania, as we like to say out here, but I bleed Philly blue and through.
That's not really a compliment when people say that, right?
not in the least, but, you know, it's something that I have to live with every day.
There you go.
Out here. But anyway, I just wanted to talk. You guys were talking about the Sixers and who would take the last shot, and I just wanted to give my opinion. And
yeah.
I have
what do you make of it? Quote. You got three choices. So, you got Paul George, Embiid, and Maxey. Who gets to set the tempo for the end of the game?
So there's three choices, but I think there's a difference maker there that we haven't had for years now, and that's Nick Nurse. We actually have a coach that will put the guys in the position to take the best shot. You know, we had Doc Rivers and we had Brett Brown, and none of those guys, I don't trust them to put the guys in the position, but I trust Nick Nurse to get the ball to Maxey, and I trust Maxey to make the right decision. And I think I trust him to read the defense, and I trust him to either get the ball to Embiid in the post or to penetrate and dish to Paul George. And I trust Maxey to maybe take it to the hole.
But to be, Hans, to be fair, because that's what Jody said, but let's just really break down what that means. You're choosing Maxey to it's Maxey's show. If he chooses to pass it, he chooses to pass it. But you're saying put the ball in Maxey's hands. I mean, if you have 7 seconds left, you don't, you know, like, clock's ticking. Let you know. Bottom line is you're saying Maxey gets to make the decision.
Catch and shoot is one thing, but I think if you have time to set up a play and develop it, I trust Maxey to get the job done.
Yep. You're I think he's my guy, down. Too. I think it's Maxey.
If you're talking about catch and shoot, then I think you chuck it to Embiid, and he can, you know, take a Christian Laettner shot from the foul line. You know, that's a totally different scenario.
Yeah, I hear you, man. All right, Hans, give me a great answer for a great sports quote.
Okay, so this is one I use when I've stolen this one before. I don't know how much it's gotten dramatized, you know, through the movie scene. I've used it as I coach my daughter's softball team, but it's the name on the front of your jersey is a hell of a lot more important than the name on the back.
You got it, Hans. Appreciate that
Miracle
phone call, man. Yeah, no, I got you. Good stuff right there. Let's get to Jalen. You know, I said kind of a tale of two different answers from Jalen Hurts yesterday. So we played one of them earlier. I want to play it again. Darius Slay with an interception yesterday of Jalen Hurts in practice, the only one in training camp. Now, Jalen had a really funny response, and I enjoyed this a lot. This is good stuff. Funny response by Jalen Hurts on if he and Slay had an interaction after that pick.
Did Slay say anything to you after the pick?
Nah, I told him about time.
All right, that's good, right? I mean, it's, you're not a robot. You're good. It's fun. It's good camaraderie. It's good stuff. But I want to play a different answer he gave. Because this one, to me, falls into the category of the more traditional, I don't know if it's stoic or slightly standoffish or just kind of weird or all of the above, Jalen answer on his physicality. You know, last year, what was going on? I mean, he does look better in camp this year. He looks more spry, if you will. And obviously hasn't been taking the hits yet, so that he should be more spry. We'll see how long it lasts. But a lot of people are saying he looks great. All right. So Jalen yesterday, including a little pushback from him initially, which I don't know why it required pushback. Here's Jalen. I found this to be more of a strange answer.
Feel physically different this year versus last year? You had a longer season last year, or whatever the reason may be.
What do you mean?
You feel physically better than you did last year?
Well, I think I'm in a better place. Yeah, I think I'm in a better place physically. I obviously had some nicks there throughout the year that I told you guys not to ask me about. but, you know, you deal with those things, you know, and I think all of those things have made me better. They've made me reevaluate some things, and they've allowed me to reassess, and I've been able to saturate myself in the right things.
All right, couple different things. Seltzer, I see you.
Who says saturate myself in things? Like, what a weird way to phrase something. Like,
I was more hung up on him saying, "I told you guys not to ask me."
That's
it. I remembered that from last year.
Jody, like,
it's such a strange phrasing.
All right, Jody, I see you kind of shaking your head. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking he's different. I don't know that that's good or bad, but he's just different.
Yes.
And he's been different since the day he showed up. None of this is new. This is not like, where the hell is our quarterback going? No, this has been Jalen Hurts since the day he showed up here. He has a different way of, I think, thinking, certainly playing, and just processing
and
things.
And expressing himself as well.
Totally. I agree. Look, the saturate thing is very strange. And Devin, your point about, like, I told you guys not to ask me about that. Does he know that that doesn't mean they're not going to ask him? Or not going to ask him? Whatever I'm trying to say.
I don't know. Honestly, I think maybe as media members, we assume that they know that, but maybe he doesn't.
Well, he might know it, but he might think he can influence. And
you're not allowed to shut down topics of conversation.
Be indignant. If someone does ask about
it. Especially, like, there are actual, like, NFL guidelines and rules with this stuff, with gambling now and all that stuff, with the injury report, all that stuff, where
totally.
It's like, it's public knowledge, man. It has to be. I'm sorry, dude. Like, it's actually where we're supposed to ask you about
And you guys know my thing. I hope he was kind of hurt last year from the standpoint that that would explain, you know, somewhat why he was so much slower. I mean, he was like not, for a guy who got in the league, and I'm not saying he was Michael Vick, he wasn't that, but I mean, he was well above the norm as far as running quarterbacks go, well above the norm. And then, and he could turn every corner. And then last year, he couldn't turn any corner. Wait, can't ask you about that? Come on, man.
And the thing that bothered me most about Jalen last year, and I still don't know the answer, if either one of you two or James included want to clue me in, I would be surprised that you could definitively answer this.
What?
When he would just sit down, he'd move toward the sidelines. It's one thing to run out of bounds. You're stopping the clock, blah, blah. He would just like
fall down.
Go
to his
butt.
You got me. Yep.
And I'm going, this is preconceived. I still to this day do not know, did he decide he was going to get less aggressive when he got out of the pocket and turned the football upfield, or not turn it upfield, just turn to his butt cheeks? Or if someone told him that's what he's expected
I agree.
To do.
Look, I think they got...
And that's a question I'm sure Jalen wouldn't want, wouldn't answer, would dance around, but I don't think that anyone has ever come forth on or off the record and truly said, yeah, we told Jalen he can't put himself at risk, and he understood it, and he did what we asked him to, or Jalen decided for himself. We were surprised when he went to his butt cheeks coming out of the pocket. I still don't know the answer to
that
question.
Jody, I totally agree with you. That was a big...
Huge part of last year.
Huge part. I mean, I'm sure they said something to him, but did it rub him the wrong way? Did he take it too far? Did he choose his own course? It was strange. It was.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. you get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.